Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Welcome to the Psychovertical podcast. So this is me, Andy Kirkpatrick, and I am out and about. I'm walking down some lonely Irish road, which is actually the road. If you've ever seen the film The Guard with Brendan Gleeson, it's actually the road where the IRA have hidden their AK-47s, and the that kind of strange kid who's that of, looks like he should be in a Kez, digs them up. If you've never seen The Guard, highly recommend it. It's not on, I tried to show it to my son the other day, but it's not on Netflix or Amazon or any of those kind of things where I live, so you have to have a VPN type thing. That was like a, this could be like an advert for VPN, actually, yeah. Get VPN. So I'm walking down this lonely road. Is that like the beginning of a song by Jack Black? I'm walking on this lonely road, and it's 10:30, and you can hear a funny noise, and that is actually a pram, and I'm pushing a pram down this lonely road, and in that pram is my son, not the same son I was recommending to watch The Guard, because he's 19. It would be a bit strange for me to be pushing him in a pram down the road. I like, probably quite like it. I have a new son. I always joke I've got three kids, one of each. But now I've got three kids, so the joke with the three kids, one of each, was a boy, a girl, and a hairdresser, and that's kind of a like 1970s joke where you can't really say it these days. And I think actually they're getting rid of the word boy and girl, so now I've got three kids, one of each, and his hair, a Z, and a whatever. Anyway, so yes, I'm pushing this child along, who is called Noah. I keep calling him Ewan, which is the same name as my other son, which is a bit of a problem. I'm sure I'll get out of it. Yes, if you call something like a name, like if you call like your boy child a name for like 19 years, it's hard to sort of call another one something else. So, But I'm sure I'll eventually, by the time he works it out, by the time he understands who I am, hopefully I'll start calling him the same, the right name. So if you're naming your kids, like, you know, like growing up, I was really into, you know, I was really into kind of war and not actually being in a war, but I was actually, you know, like most kids, I was interested in tanks and all that kind of stuff. And so in, you know, NATO, like the Soviet Union, Eastern Bloc, like they had like a coding, you know, like a way of like naming everything. And, you know, so every tank would begin with a T. Same way, like, so your American planes would all, if it was a bomber, it began with a B. Now, there's some, you know, like some things, everything was named after, like a tanks, like you'd have a Centurion, you'd have a Centaur, you'd have a, all that kind of stuff. So I wanted to adopt that, you know, when I was five, I was like, oh, when I grow up, I want to adopt a NATO naming sort of system with my own children. So basically how it works with my kids is, basically it has to be four letters with two syllables, you know, because it basically has to be quite easy to spell it. Although I do have trouble with some of the names. So it's Ella, two syllables, four letters, Ewan, and this one, number three, is called Noah, which sounds like Ella said it was a bad name to call him, and her kind of, oh, there's a car coming, it's quite rare. Once when we went skiing somewhere, no, it's not very middle class, went skiing, and we didn't want someone to steal our skis, because all the skis look the same. So we wrote Ella K on their ski. And then she had like some sort of like skiing lessons or something, and the skiing instructor called her Ellick all day long, so we often still call her Ellick because it's quite good. But she was like, oh no, when he's at school, they'll call him like Noah K. And I was like, I don't really get that. But it's always good if anybody in there is going to call your kids anything, you always want to imagine what it sounds like. Like being shouted across, you know, shouted across a schoolyard or like a playground. So I didn't know, once when I went to antenatal classes once, there was someone who had called one of the children Raven, and the other one was called Labyrinth. So that's a good, anyway, she always do that. I can't think what are the names we had. I don't know why we've gone for like a bit of a biblical name. Not really, no. Maybe Living by the Sea or something. But anyway, so yeah, that's why I've not been doing any podcasts for a while, because I'm like a 49-year-old man who's had a fucking baby. Like, it's not meant, you're not meant to have babies at my age. So life sometimes it's a bit like snakes and ladders. You know, you just get your kids like 22 and 19, they just fucking got rid of them, and then another one turns up, it's like back down you go. Like, one minute you can finally do whatever you want, you can go wherever you want, do whatever you want, you know, the world's your oyster again, you know, just before you drop down dead of some brain aneurysm or COVID or something, and then you have another bloody baby. Like, I was hoping it wasn't mine, and but I haven't really got the heart to, you know, get a DNA test. A friend of mine, he once got a DNA test and it was his, so I thought, oh, it's not good. I'm going to bring him up as my own, though, he is black. But then I thought that's really cool, because then I look like a really, you know, it's like, I'm going to put loads of, I'm going to have him on my Instagram account all the time. Just I'm gonna dress him as a climber, because all the climbers on Instagram suddenly have discovered lots of sort of black sort of climbing friends. So I thought I'll do one better. I'll have like a black child. It's my child. You know, I bring him up as my own, but if he wasn't, he would still be mine. So no, he's not black. He's kind of whitey colour. He's been that, got sort of nice. It's a helicopter. So how old is he? 8 weeks. And he belongs to my wife, basically. But she had him, so. So I do apologise for not, I'm just going past someone's building a house or something. Look like some sort of Polish builders. They've all got balaclavas on. Look like kind of Russian special forces. So basically every day I've been to survive the crushing trauma of being a father again. I said I'm a father, but you know, but this is, you know, you have some responsibilities again. So it's me going for like very long walks. So I leave the house at like 9 a.m. and I do like about 12 kilometers pushing this pram, and like every day, and then I probably do another 8 kilometers before he goes to bed, and then in the afternoon me and Vanessa go for a walk as well, which is about another 10 kilometers. So I'm fucking bloody walking. I've got more exercise than I've had in my whole life. So although I did notice for Christmas I got one of these Garmin watch type things. I did have one before, but I've had a few, but I've always lost them all for some reason. But I actually attached it to my computer, because I've only ever, generally in the past I've always like been given one, but so I've never really bothered working out how it worked. But I actually plugged it in to my computer and all this data was coming up. So apparently I've got a resting heart rate of 43. I've always had a really very low heart rate. Like whenever I go to the doctors, they can never find my pulse, which I always think's kind of funny, but they always seem to feel quite alarmed by it, but I'm sure that's fine. What's the worst that can happen? So I stuck up on Instagram my I wasn't bragging, I would just say, and this is kind of interesting. It's like, you know, like you know, if you've like once put in your email address into some sort of porno website, you know, like 10 years ago, and then suddenly someone starts trying to get money out of you, saying I'm going to expose the fact you put your, you know, email address into fiddlingchildren.com. I think it's quite good to actually share that email on Instagram or something. There's lots of other people who are in the same position, think like it's not such a big deal. So I shared it. So a few people were like, oh, maybe you're overtraining. Like, you know, Steve House said about, you know, if you overtrain, you might have this like problem with your heart. So it's probably the only time in my life anyone would ever think I'd been overtraining. But it's nice to sort of maintain that kind of illusion when really I'm just pushing a pram around the back roads of County Galway. So I feel a little bit like, have you ever seen that film Shogun Assassin, where I think the main character, it's a film they're watching, Kill Bill, when she get on the, so Kill Bill 2, she goes, finally finds Bill, and she puts her daughter to bed and they watch a bit of Shogun Assassin, which is pretty cool if you've seen Shogun Assassin. So I think Shogun Assassin, the main character, the samurai warrior, who's like the king's executioner, king's beheader, and for some reason, he falls out with the king, or maybe there's a new king. So the king sends these assassins to kill him, and he ends up they end up killing his wife, and he kills them all. So then he vows vengeance against the emperor, and he's got like a little son, and he has to decide whether he should like kill his son, and so he's like free to seek vengeance, or whether he should bring his son with him. So he puts his son on the floor and he puts a ball in front of him and a knife, and if he takes the kid, like this little baby, like reaches out for the ball, and as he does, like his hand, the samurai's hand, like goes to his sword ready to chop him in half, and then he suddenly wavers, and he puts his hand on the knife, so he takes him with him. And the film is basically going through the Japanese countryside with this bamboo pram with all these knives and things that come out and chop people's legs off and stuff. It's a really good film, actually. Some really, in the days, there were the days of VHS videos and Beta videos where there was a real, those kind of films those kind of films were really, what's the word? I don't know, but there's something really special about them, because they were kind of a little bit forbidden, or, you know, when you have no internet or anything, you would see, like, maybe you'd know about some of these films through reading some sort of, you know, a filming magazine or something, or reading it in a book. But, kids would talk about seeing Life of Brian or something, and so it had like a real magic to it. It's probably like sex before you, like, having sex with someone in the days before you had, like, pornography everywhere and sexualized music and sexualized everything. You know, it was much more it was much more exciting in a way. It was so what was my point? I was pushing about the pram. Yeah, so I've been pushing this pram around, and I had decided to do some extra training. So I was carrying a rucksack with about 20 litres of water in it, which I think is 20 kilos. So I was walking around with that, like, every day. And after about 2 weeks of it, I decided I was going to wear my body out. My hips were going to wear out. So I'm a big believer in not fucking yourself up. So, you know, it's very easy. I think I do have a bit of a tendency to overdo things. So I think it's quite good to whenever you do anything, if you do anything like weight training or whatever, I always, like, go take it too far and get injured or something. So, because you can see the benefits, you know, as soon as you start carrying 20 kilos around every day, you know, within like a week, you'll start really feeling a lot stronger. You won't feel very heavy, and your body will adapt to it. And then you're like, oh, maybe I should get like two jerry cans. I'll have like 40 kilos, and then before you know it, like, you've got arthritis in your hips. So I'm a firm believer in not training. Like most people you meet who you'd class as like professional athletes, they're basically fucked. You know, they're physically fucked. Their body's just wrecked. So same with like mountain guides and people like that. So it's, you know, you've only got one body, so you want to make it last a while. So Noah, I'm calling you, and Noah is, I'm just going to be one of these boring ones where it's like, oh Christ, this guy going on about his kids, oh God. It won't be like that, but I'm just trying to explain what that noise is, that sort of rickety noise. Oh God, there's someone coming. It's very rare to see someone out at this time in the morning. Hope he's not in the IRA. He's coming towards me. Yeah, everyone's like, it's a bit, you know, with the old unpleasantness that's going on at the moment. It sometimes feels like you're like a dissident or some kind of heretic. Like, I'm just reading, rereading Wolf Hurl. I can't, because if you come from Hull, it doesn't sound, you don't know what I'm talking about. It's like Wolf Hurl. Hi there. Oh yeah. Wolf Hall, which is a fantastic book. One of the best books I've ever read. So it's amazing book, amazing art, amazing the skill of in writing, the way it's written and stuff. But you know, it's funny when you read about the Protestants and things being persecuted, and, you know, the people who had the translation of the Bible and all that kind of stuff, how you know, they'd be burnt at the stake and thrown in prison, and they had to do everything in secret. It was a little bit like that with the COVID, is you have to kind of like meet someone, you have to sort of somehow, you know, check. It's like probably like being gay, probably in the olden days. Well, in the olden days, like in the 60s and stuff, like, oh, before that as well, I guess. You know, you had to work out if someone was gay. Like, I remember reading something, you had to like have like a red handkerchief in your back pocket or something if you want to have sex in a toilet. So maybe we need something like that. Like, I'm not saying I'm one of them. I'm a heretic. I'm just saying that sometimes when you meet someone, you know, you can sort of tell who is a devout believer, because they'll, you know, you'll be walking along down this lonely road, you know, and they'll like cover their faces with some, you know, a Bible or some cloth or something, some holy cloth, and walk past you and walk, say hello. So it's quite rare to see people out. Most people like hidden away. I think what they should do, actually, the government should start issuing shovels to everybody, and you should like dig a you know, human sized hole in your garden and kind of bury yourself, I think. But you should always bury your children first, you know, bury them. So yes, it was interesting seeing somebody who was carrying a rucksack. You often see the same, I don't know if anybody listening to this does a lot of like walking around every day, the same sort of places, but you become really, you just recognise people, you know, you see people all the time, like you sort of know them, but you don't know them, they're just people you walk past all the time. And I can tell people by the way they walk. There's one guy I just see all over the place, just walking, and like, you know, like miles and miles and miles apart, and he must just walk all the time, just never stop walking. There used to be a woman in Sheffield called the Running Woman, and I think she obviously had some sort of mental issue, and she was just literally, she lived on our road, she used to just run everywhere, like all the time, and then literally she just wore out her body, and then she was like hobbling around with like sticks, because I think she's probably just worn out all her, you know, her ligaments and her connectors and all that kind of stuff. And she had a dog as well. So she was, you know, she had this dog running around. I think the dog just died. It was the happiest dog in the world until it realised that like every day was walky day, a runny day. So I don't know what happened to her. But she was fit. She's very fit. You want to go out with someone like that though, because they'd be like fucking crazy, wouldn't they? So what's my point about running, about people out? Yeah, so it's kind of weird, like seeing people. It'll probably be a little bit like, you know, if you're into swinging or something. Some people don't know what that is. I didn't know what pegging was until someone made a joke about it. I looked that up. Don't look up felching though, for God's sake. But you know, if you're into swinging, which is like going to like some dingy sort of pub, some dingy club somewhere in Leeds, and like there's lots of people and have sex with each other. They're always the wrong kind of people, I always find. Atomized, that's another good book. That's a really good book. My son has only just started reading books. He just read his first book in his whole... Not this one, he's too small. But my other son, he just read his first ever book, like, you know, without being at school. And it was interesting, so I said to him, look, you're 19, you need to start reading books. You know, you spend your whole time reading stuff off your phone, you need to start reading books. And he was like, yeah, I know, I need to, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I said, like, if you're going to read a book, start with The Alchemist. Because it's dead small, it's very, you know, it's written, it's like a kid's book, basically. And it's always a classic book that people who don't read, along with Psycho Vertical. So, So he read it. That was cool. But it was interesting because then the same week he was reading that, I was listening to Tim Ferriss, and he was interviewing the man who set up Shopify, and he was like, oh, I've just read my first ever fiction book, and it was The Sorcerer, so Alchemist, so interesting. I give whenever my postman comes round, it's not my postman, but whenever the postman comes round, post operator, letter delivering agent, manager, I always used to have my pajamas on. I was always naked. I'd always have my dressing gown on. I don't know why. What's the point of getting ready these days? So I just have my dressing gown on. They always felt like a really lazy bastard. Like sometimes I might have just been out for like 12 miles pushing him along, but so I felt a bit guilty. I always feel a bit guilty, like, you know, like the idle rich, you know, sitting there. So I decided to give him a copy of my book, Psychovertical, mainly because I don't like people thinking that you're just, you know, on the dole or something. Nothing wrong if you are. So I give him like his Christmas card and some money and stuff, because it must be shit. You're the only person who's having to work this year. So I give him some money, give him a Christmas card, and give him a copy of my book. It's kind of it's a bit weird, really. It's like almost like giving everyone for Christmas, give him a copy of like Down or something. Like, there you go. What's this shit? Anyway, it was funny because then he sort of sent me a message. You might be listening to this, but he sent me a message on Facebook or something. And it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird when, you know, someone from one of the lower orders, you know, communicates with you. I was like, oh god, this is not really, I don't think this is really appropriate that my postman is, you know, communicating with me with, you know, he's not, it's a bit strange. What's next? I'll have like the bin man trying to, you know, follow me on Instagram or something. So, but anyway, but it's funny when someone knows you in some way of just being this person who was always in his dressing gown. And then the other day he came round and he was saying like, oh, I can't believe, I just thought you're a big fat fucking wasting fuckbag. But God, look, oh God. He said like, oh, you must be one of the best climbers in the world. I was like, no, I don't think that was ever really what I was. So yeah, that was kind of funny. But he said his wife was commenting how she'd never seen him reading a book or something, so that's good. So like Psychovertical is basically a book written by someone who can't write for people who don't read. So it's very good. I'd highly recommend it to anyone you know who's not really into reading books and stuff. It's a bit like Bravo 2.0. Vanessa's reading. Vanessa's also pushing this child around quite a lot. It's funny, like some babies, like is, how old is it, 8 months, 8 weeks old. Like some 8-week-old babies have not even been out of house yet. And this one, like from literally the second day he was born, he was out going around and getting lots of fresh air. They're not supposed to, you're not supposed to take, put, I've got one of the running buggy type things, something like one of the yummy mummies. You're not supposed to take them outside. They're not supposed to be able to, you know, like hold their head up properly. You're not supposed to take them in these kind of buggies. But I said, like, you can't treat them like a baby all his life. Like, you got to, you know, never get a strong neck unless you get him out there. So, but he's got a very, very strong neck. So, when it's not like 45 degrees. So, yeah, so Vanessa's been pushing him around. And so I'm trying to get some work done, which is kind of not very easy, really. And so she's been going off listening to an audiobook. So she's been listening to your American man who climbed all the 8,000 meter peaks. What's his name? Kind of not. I don't know if he's having a baby. I've had my my capacity to remember anybody's names. It's not David Breeshers, it's that other fella. So, but she said it was funny reading his book. She said it was very, she said it was like very self-licking ice cream-esque, but I don't think that's the right term. But it was, you know, lots of it is like, I did this, and I did this, and I saved this person. And it's quite easy to do that with, if you write books about 8,000 metre peaks, because everyone's dead, so you can write whatever you want, because no one's going to sue you or, you know. So it was never like that. So actually, speaking of which, there was a Twid Turner, who is like a phenomenal climber, and he showed a picture, and it was from this big wall symposium which took place like sometime in the 90s, and I was like invited to give a talk for some reason. I can't remember why. Maybe I'd soloed Aurora or something. Maybe I'd just started getting into that kind of thing. So I was invited to give a talk, and there was John Middendorf, Andy Perkins, Jerry Gore, Steph Davis, Alex Huber, Kevin Thor. So like some really amazing speakers and climbers and stuff. And it was like a Saturday Sunday kind of deal. And it was really, really fantastic. Like these days, you can't do a symposium if it's only, you can only really do symposiums if it was like women only, or you know, boss-eyed people only or something. So they were really cool, those kind of things. What was interesting is when you look at the photograph of all the people at the end, Paul Pritchard was there as well. Everyone's still alive, which is really kind of interesting, because I think if you took a photograph of, like, you know, alpine climbing, Himalayan climbing kind of thing, you know, 25 years later, they'd probably all be dead. So there's something to be said for that kind of thing, like kind of big wall climbing, like Steve House, I think it once called like big wall climbing guaranteed outcome climbing. And the thing I said at the time, that anything's guaranteed if you put that much effort in. And you know, with alpine climbing, you generally only have one go, and if the weather's bad or you can't do it, then you have to come back down, where you can actually kind of big wall climbing, you can hang out and try something for a long time. You can be up there for, you know, people have been on a big wall for like a month or something. So it's guaranteed. Maybe alpine climbing, sort of hard Himalayan alpine climbing, the only thing you're guaranteed is probably to eventually get killed kind of doing it. So I think I was kind of not wanting to sort of share the fact I've got like another child. I don't know why. Maybe I don't want to. Like in the past, people kind of use their children, like Kardashian uses a little yappy dog or something. For some reason I didn't want to really share the fact that there was another Kirkpatrick in the world. Maybe that was a bad thing. I don't know, there's all these people these days who are, you know, you're 10 and you have a vasectomy because you don't want to destroy the planet. Well, kids, yeah, babies are funny things. Like they're for all the negatives. It's like saying like a problem with a bar of gold is it's really heavy. You know, like there are some downsides of having a child, like having to boot it around at like 2 hours a day in the morning. But there's lots of so many good things. A few of my friends, seem to have like made friends who are at that point in their life where they're generally like their wives or girlfriends want to have a baby, that people kind of, they have these kind of revolutionary ideas about themselves, but then they suddenly get to a certain age when they just become completely conventional. So this conventional idea, you know, the woman is like the Z. You're like, I really want to have a baby. I want to have a baby more than I love you. So better have a baby. And I've had a few conversations with people about, having a baby is like the end of your life, but it's kind of it's the beginning of a new one, and you just have to go with it, basically. It's like quicksand, or maybe it's not. You don't struggle, you make it worse. It's been sort of interesting. It's been interesting seeing people really resist having kids and kind of ruining maybe the beginning of the early years of their kids, the men basically wanting, you know, not really wanting it and all that kind of stuff. And suddenly something happens and they're really into it. Then they kind of have all that guilt about being knobheads all that time. He's making some funny noises, 1 second. I've actually got my recorder attached to the pram, so it stops him getting away from me. Is he in there? God, that'd be terrible if he wasn't there. Yes, yeah, still alive, that's good. So I'm now down in kind of suburbia land. I can see the Aran Islands out in the Galway Bay. It's quite nice. The light here is amazing. I think it's because it's fucking raining all the time. It's a bit like Norway. Like the light in Norway or Patagonia, place like that, place where it's really wet. Basically, the light is always so fantastic. And I think it's also the light's always amazing where in the winter time, because the sun is always very low. That's why it's kind of harder to take good photographs in the desert and stuff, like in the daytime, because the sun always seems quite high. Yes, if you want to take good photographs, go places in the winter time. So what was the aim of this? I've already been talking for quite a while. I've been walking around with like this. I've been wearing lots of reflective clothing all of a sudden. Because it's kind of, there's no street lights, so in the night time you feel like you want to be seen. So I'm having a new appraisal for safety clothing. I bought some jacket because I'm planning on writing a book, my next book, on clothing, like extreme clothing, how to dress, how to kind of for like kind of climbing, alpinism, mountaineering kind of sort of audience. Anyone basically who does anything where it's cold or, you know, where it's kind of extreme. So super hot, super cold. God, it's very icy here. So I've been trying out loads of weird, like today I'm walking along, I've got like a cotton, I've got my Brynja kind of mesh underwear on the top, and then over the top of that I've got a like cotton, what are they called? Sweat top, like. Because I was thinking about like Norwegian army shirt is like a really classic piece of kind of military clothing. I don't think people wear them anymore, but they were kind of a loop, like a pile kind of loop stitch kind of cotton top that loads of soldiers used to really, really like. So it's like the idea that the cotton kind of sucks the moisture up. So the best example of that would be the classic, you know, you wear like a lifer base layer, which is made of polypropylene, and then over the top of it you wear like a cotton t-shirt. And how it works is the cotton, because cotton is kind of quite a tight weave generally. So the cotton acts as a sort of semi-permeable windproof layer, because without it the wind would just take all the heat straight out of your lifer, because lifer is a little bit like mesh, really. It's like a, you know, like a smaller mesh, because Brynja is polypropylene as well. So polypropylene can't absorb any moisture, like any moisture on it would just, would literally be on it, wouldn't it be like absorbed by the fibers. You know, if you think of that, you know, that blue polypropylene rope you often get in like hardware stores, it's like that. Like it won't absorb any water. That's why people use it. Here comes a bin man, bin person. The refuse operating removal officer. So like in the Arctic, when people are pulling sleds and stuff, like going over like ice leads and swimming over water and stuff, they use like polypropylene rope because it won't freeze, it can't absorb any water, and it won't sink either. So polypropylene lifer underwear is the same, unless they've changed it, but that's how it used to work. But it has like a kind of a limited capacity to actually to hold that much warmth, really. Like wool is like is better at like holding the heat. So the cotton goes up the top, and the cotton acts as like a windproof layer, but it's not totally windproof, because you want some kind of air permeability, because you want the moisture, you want some of the heat to be dumped, and you want some of the moisture to be taken out by some through flow of air, but not to the point where you're getting cold. But also the cotton absorbs the sweat as well, so the cotton is like pulling the sweat out from the lifer, and then because your skin is warm, you're generating like a dry warmth, and that dry warmth ideally is going to be drying out your t-shirt. So it's like a bit like, have you ever looked at how a reactor, nuclear reactor works on a submarine? You have this like closed system where you have the reactor on one side and the water is going around on the outside. The water and the nuclear water and the heat source never touch each other. So you bring in cold water and it's heated by the reactor, and then it passes back out the submarine once it's gone through turbines and everything else. It's a bit like that. So it just looks like a guy wearing a lifer, smelly, horrible lifer top and a t-shirt. He's like running club t-shirt, which is actually more sophisticated than you think. Hello. Whether anybody knows it's sophisticated is another matter. So I'm getting down back near the main road now. So I've been going for 2 hours. 2 hours. God, I've been listening to lots of podcasts on my walks. That's been kind of good. Like trying to make I guess carrying the weight was, I was pushing him. I was like carrying some weight. I was listening to podcasts. So it was like a good use of my time. It wasn't like wasted time, basically. But now I've got rid of the rucksack. I've decided maybe the podcast thing is another good use of my time. But I can't listen to podcasts. I can't listen to podcasts and do a podcast at the same time. That's the only downside. There's a bit of a busier road, this. Hopefully it's not too busy. They've got like gone into lockdown 10 or it is here, so everyone's sheltering in place. Sheltering in place, never shelter in place. So I was actually gonna talk about Doug Scott, but I've been talking for a long time now, I've not got around to it yet. So this book. So I've been I'm slowly building up to this book. and it's going to be called By a Thread, and the idea is to get it finished by, to get it into the Banff Book Festival. Although a few people have pointed out that I'll never win Banff again because I'm too controversial. I don't know if that's true. But I was rereading, I've got a copy of Down next to the toilet, like the first edition of it, so it has lots of, it's always being updated all the time, so I notice little things I need to change. But, God, it's a really, I think it's an amazing book, actually, even though I wrote it. It's a really amazing piece of work. I think it should have won, really, but never mind. I think some people don't realise that a book like that, that I drew all the pictures and, you know, laid it out and it's self-published. They just think some other, you know, you had like an art, you know, maybe people don't realise what goes into it. So, but anyway, so partly the reason for doing another book is because I'd like to submit it into Banff again. Because at least if I don't win, it's like the second, you know, it'd be shortlisted. So I've had quite a lot of books shortlisted. So I've been wearing lots of weird clothing on these walks. It's cold here at the moment, but it's been very wet, so it's good. It's a good place to try things out, try old things out. But I've been wearing some weird Czechoslovakian civil defence jacket, which is made out of cotton. So I've been wearing that sometimes. It's got loads of reflective things all over it. So people must think, there's lots of Eastern Europeans live in Ireland. So they must be thinking there's like a nuclear war going on. And I also have a German police coat, which is, it's like a three-layer, one like a classic old-fashioned car coat. It's got like a layer of, I think it's got like a polyester outer, then it's got like a Gore-Tex inner layer, and then it's got like a fleece layer. So it's very heavy. It's like the stuff that your dad would wear. But it's got like pleats here, like written on the back, and it's got loads of reflective things. It's got a pocket where you can reach through into your, pull out your gun with your coat on. It's got a really crap hood, that's no problem. But it was like €25, so it's quite, I've been wearing that because it's like a good coat just to throw on if you're going to the beach rather than wearing some fancy Gore-Tex jacket or something. So anyway, so I've been wearing all sorts of weird clothing, trying to be consciously thinking about why some things work well, why some things don't, why some things work well in combination with other things. So yeah, I think the book could be interesting. And like a lot of things, I've been doing lots of things on Instagram about clothing. This kind of like setting out your stall for some kind of project. I'll probably do it by a Kickstarter. Right, I think maybe it's going to get too noisy to do this now. Maybe I'll go up this little side road, see what's up here. I'm discovering all the hidden little places around here. Where's this? Walks with Andy. It's like one of those programs, BBC programs, where you get some, that woman, Julia Bradbury, is it, where she goes walking around. I really don't like those programs. I don't know why. There's something about them. They're kind of a bit too like BBC for me. Not had my breakfast yet. I need to get home and have my breakfast. I think this is a dead end. But it's a bit quieter. Yeah, so maybe I should wrap it up here. Listen to some more some more podcasts. What podcasts have I been listening to? I've been listening to the Dark Horse podcast with Eric Weinstein and Heather Hine, which I really like. Listening to Lex Friedman, that kind of Russian guy, quite like him. I was listening to a bit of Hardcore History. For some reason, I keep trying. I know everyone loves Hardcore History. But I kind of struggle with it for some reason. I don't know why. It's kind of, I kind of like it, but I just find myself like drifting off a bit too much. Maybe terrible attention span. I showed my kids that film, As Good As It Gets, with Jack Nicholson, over Christmas, and I only allowed them to watch it if they put their phones away. I think they were telling them that their attention span is fucking terrible, and finally managed to manhandle the phones off them. And Ewan really enjoyed it. He said it was like fun. Fantastic film. It's a fantastic film. But Ella said it's a bit too long, which kind of proves my point. So I'm trying to get Ewan to come over here and live in Ireland for a bit to try and civilize him. I'm going to try and get him to help me with my books and stuff, because he's kind of 19. Like, what are you going to do at the moment? There's no jobs anywhere. Maybe he's reading Wolf Hall. I feel like Oliver Cromwell. I need to bring him into the business. But it made me feel more confident that he could A, read The Alchemist, and B, he could watch As Good As It Gets without using his phone. So, you know, little victories. That's all you need. I'm sure people will send me some podcasting recommendations. I've just been listening to Starting Strength podcast. I like him. I basically like people who are, I think I kind of like people who are kind of trouble a little bit, who are heretics, and the kind of people that Henry, not Henry Moore, that's a sculpture, Sir Thomas More would burn at the stake. The kind of people I quite listening to in podcasts and in general. I think those kind of people are always more interesting, aren't they? I think often also the people who get angry with people like that, who don't like those kind of people, are always, it's because they kind of recognise something in themselves. You know what I mean? You know, when someone's really into, like, you realise that someone's like into really cool music, and you just think they're just a knobhead, you know, they're just like, you know, musos or whatever. It's because you're recognising yourself that you'd like to be into, you know, cool music or and stuff. So yeah, so that's kind of podcasts. But you get through a hell of a lot of podcasts if you're doing like three and a half hours a day walking around pushing a pram. But maybe it's like we do live in amazing times. Then we can. There's so much information, just at our fingertips. We can just educate ourselves, you know, to like such a high degree. I was listening. I really like what's it called? The Right Show, WRIGHT Show, Blogging Heads TV, and he was interviewing somebody who was like a long-term sort of journalist person. He was saying that in the past, if you worked for like New York Times or something, you'd only have to produce like maybe one or two pieces of work a week, where now you'd have to produce maybe, you know, definitely one or two pieces of work every day, and maybe like one or two pieces of work every few hours. But he said that in those days, if you wanted to write something, you'd literally, all the information you had would be on your bookshelf or in your head, or you'd have to physically go to somewhere and talk to someone, or go to the library, or, you know, it would take you a long time to produce any piece of work, where now you just Google it. It's you just forget how easy how much easier it is, really, but also harder. So anyway, so I'll leave it here, and I'm going to try and now as long as this is recording, I'll do this again. But I want to do a podcast about Doug Scott. Like, I knew Doug Scott quite well, and we had a few fun times together, and I want to do a podcast about mistakes as well. That'd be quite an interesting topic. So I hope you're all okay. And the Red Scare, that's one of my favorite podcasts, the Red Scare, those two women in New York. Hope you're all okay, and hopefully next time I talk to you again, I'll have had a little bit more sleep. Okay, goodbye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Vim, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.